3 years ago, we began a study in the book of Revelations and preached through that entire book and printed up a little booklet about outlining the book of Revelations. And then after that, the next year, we looked through the book of Esther. And I don't know how Esther and Revelations tied together other than that's what the Lord told us to do. And we went through that entire book. And then last year, the Lord told us to go through the study on what it is that Baptists believe, which is a fundamental of the faith. And we hope you got some things there. The Lord has told us to prepare for the next 12 of 13 weeks looking in the book of Daniel. We'll look through the book of Daniel, how it ties to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John the Divine. And tonight we begin in Daniel chapter number 1. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Our Father, we do thank you for the opportunity you've given us once more to be in the house of God, to feel the very praises that we can offer unto you in your presence. We thank you for that. God, we pray tonight, Father, you would help us. Lord, we're no expert, Father. We are just scratch and sniff preachers. We're really nothing, Father, without your touch upon our lives. And God, tonight we need you as at no other time. And I pray, God, you would help us to preach what you've given to us, to this people. I pray, God, you'd make preaching easy and help us to understand what you speak to the church. For these favors we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Daniel chapter number 1, the Bible says, and I could go through a lot of the background of Daniel before we get started, but I don't want to waste a lot of time in this because we're going to have to cover about a chapter a night. And it's going to get deep, and it's going to get deep in a hurry. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Point number 1 in Daniel chapter 1, Babylon's attack. Do you see here Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon? Babylon always represents the world in the Word of God. I want to say to you today, there is an attack upon the church. And it is an attack from the world. Right. You may say today, I didn't feel attacked by the world. You'll either feel attacked by the world, by the flesh, or by the devil. Those are the three root sin areas of any home or of any individual. Now I want you to know, this nation of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is under attack of the nation of Babylon. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into the hands of the enemy. You may say, preacher, I don't like it. Well, I don't like it either, but it still happened. God delivered good people into the hands of the enemy. And you know why? Because of their sin. They had been living in idolatry. They had been not fearing God and serving other gods. And God told them, if you don't trust me and me only, I'll turn you over to other nations to judge you and to chastise you. The Bible says the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. Do you see what Babylon did? Took the vessels from the house of God. You know what the world wants tonight? Wants the treasure that you have. Right. Don't want you to give it to God. Want you to spend it on other things. But don't give your tithe to the house of God.
Right.
That's what the world's attack is all about. He's carried the vessels of the house of God, and he went back to the land of Shinar, that's where Babylon is, and he put those vessels in his God. What he's trying to say is, my God is better than your God. That makes me mad. It ought to make you mad too.
Right.
I'm telling you, the gods of this world are not better than the God of glory, which you and I serve. The Bible says that he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Not only does Babylon, when it attacks, want the vessels or the treasury that you have, but I want to say that it's taken valiant men of God's people. It wants your talent. It don't want you to sing glory and praises unto God. It wants you to sing honky-tonk music. I mean, after all, that is what excites you. Amen? That is what you find yourself drawn and tempted to listen to. Mary Randley, do tempted to listen to Amazing Grace. Rather, you'll feel tempted to listen to Honky Tonk Angel and rock and all this other stuff. That's what you'll feel tempted and drawn to do. What the world wants to do is it wants to take your talent away from the house of God and put it in other fields or put it in a place where it can't be used for God. I want to say to you tonight, you are under the attack of the world this evening. You have a talent that God has given you. I've laid since Sunday night and thought Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday about talents that this church has got and how many of you have tapped talents, but yet you'd rather, for some reason, when it don't go according to suit you, rather just go ahead and hide that talent and let nobody know that it's there. Never use it for the glory of God. You're just almost as mad as somebody decides, rather than I'm not going to use it all, I'll just go out and use it for the world. I want to say to you tonight, my friend, don't lose that battle. You're under the attack of the world, and I want to ask you and challenge you to stand up for the glory of God and blow the devil out. Right. You hear me? There's going to be times in these Wednesday nights when we meet in the house of God. And I may say, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, will you sing next week? And you ain't never sung before the church before. But God, or maybe some one time or some two times you've sung. And God may put on my heart to ask you, I want to know, what will your answer be? Had you the hide the talent God give you, or will it be used for the glory of God? When Babylon attacks, it wants your treasure. It don't like to hear the fact that your offering Sunday morning was $13,000. Oh no, it wants to keep your treasure and put it in other places. Wants the house of God to live indebted. Wants the house of God to be second, third, and fourth best in your life. But I say unto you, this is God's house, and it should be number one tonight.
Amen.
The world wants your talent, and the world wants your treasure. The world, my friend, wants tonight to have the people of God led away in chains because of sin.
Right.
Preacher, what do you mean sin? I mean sin of rebellion. Sin of wanting to do it your way rather than God's way. Sin of well, I'm too shy to ever get listened. God has saved you. And listen, if you're too shy and ashamed of Him here, you're going to be too shy and too ashamed of Him to go into His heaven.
Right.
You'll never make it there, my friend. I want to say that the Bible says, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I mean, He was taking all these children, the most brilliant, the most intellectual, and He was taking them away as victory trophies unto Himself. Hey, the people of God has never been meant to be victory trophies for the world to laugh at.
Amen.
But I want to say there's a lot of people so backslidden tonight. They used to stand for the talent and the treasure of the Word of God in the house of God. But tonight they're backslid out in the world, and the world considers them a monument. The world considers them a trophy because of its power to pull away from the house of God.
Right.
I want to say point number two. I see not only Babylon's attack, but I see Babylon's training. What is it they want to do? They want to teach them the learning of the Chaldeans. They want to teach them the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There are four men. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are four Hebrew children. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Let me say tonight, when Bethel or when Babylon or the world wants to train, here's what it's going to want to do. First thing the world wants to do with you is change your name. Now, what do you mean, preacher? Wanted to change Daniel from Belteshazzar. Wanted to change Hananiah to Shadrach. Do you get the point? Listen what they mean. This is why he wanted to change their names. Daniel means God is my judge. Babylon didn't like that. So they called him Belteshazzar, the servant of Baal. Hananiah means God is gracious. Want to change his to Shadrach, the inspiration of the sunshine. Mishael means God is without equal. They want to change him to Meshach, the servant of the goddess Shach. Azariah means God is my help. All four of his names have something to do with God.
The world wanted to change it to Abednego, the servant of fire. You see, the world wants to change your name too. It wants to ruin your testimony. It wants to ruin your witness. It wants to corrupt you and get you to backslide and get out of the house of God. I may say that the world may try to change your name, but can it change your heart? It couldn't change these boys' hearts. In fact, it wanted to change what they were eating. Says he's appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Now, everything's not clean to a Jew. They can't eat a pig, and I can go on from there. But they wanted to change their diet, change what it was they were eating. But I want to say to you, my friends, they couldn't change their convictions.
Right.
Amen. I'll tell you what else the world wants to change. It wanted to change their home. Wanted to have them move from Jerusalem, from the house of God, to a worldly palace in Babylon. Wanted to change their home. My friend, it could not change their heart. It wanted to change their teaching. Didn't want them to be skilled in the Word of God anymore. Wanted to teach them a new language, a new science, and all these new earthly revelations. But it could not change what it was they knew. They knew the Lord God.
Right.
It's the world. It wants to change their tongue. Didn't like the language they spoke. And I want to say to you, couldn't change the praise that came from the fruit of their lips. This old world, it wanted to change their religion, but it could not change their God. You see, tonight the world wants to train your children.
Right.
It's going to get them in a classroom, and it's going to get them in a setting when you're not there, and it may stand up in some college or some place and teach them about evolution. Things against the training which you've given them. Things against the Word of God. You see, that's the world's training. It wants to re-educate all of your children. It wants to take your talent. It wants to take your treasure. It wants you to eat. It wants you to dress. And it wants you to think like Babylonians. That's what the world wants you to do. It wants you to eat like the world, dress and drink like the world, and think like the world thinks. But God's called you to a higher plane tonight. You see, what the world wants to do, it wants to totally indoctrinate you. Change every value and every moral you've been taught. And say it's a lie. We have some better. You tell me tonight, look me right in the eye and tell me that the world tonight is not trying to attack you as a home, you as an individual, you as a church, and trying to make changes in your life and corrections. I say to you, there's no correction necessary if you're under God unless you're living in sin.
Right.
Amen? Babylon has a training. Point number three, Daniel takes a stand. But Daniel purposed in his heart, knowing they tried to change this, knowing they were after his talent, knowing they were after his treasure, Daniel purposed in his heart. That tells me that he's decided that he's going to do something about it. He would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. To defile means to pollute. To defile means to stain or to decay. He says, I'm not going to be polluted. I'm not going to compromise the values which my fathers and my forefathers have handed down to me on the Word of God. I say to you tonight as a church, there is a standard which we are, as a church, have the responsibility of lifting high, preaching, teaching, and living according to its Word.
Right.
Yet today you're under attack to change and compromise and only live this on Sunday and only preach this on Wednesday nights. And let's have a little Bible study and let's have a little get-together and let's have a little dinner and no church and let's have a little music and no preaching. Let's do this. Let's leave the Word of God out. I want to say to you tonight, if you leave the Word of God out, you're no longer functioning as a church.
Right.
You're no longer having the power and the praise of Almighty God. If you want honor from God, you must honor Him by lifting up His standards. Uncompromised tonight. Daniel, my friend, he's purposed. I'm going to be faithful to God. He said, I'm not going to take the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, I want to say something here. The Jews couldn't eat an unclean animal. And the Jews couldn't drink any kind of a drink that was offered or dedicated to a pagan god. If they did, that means that they've agreed with it and they're going to have fellowship with it. My friend, there's a lot of things we better be careful about how we treat. But now my Bible's told me, what God's called clean, call thou not unclean. And No longer do we live under the law, of ceremonialism and can't eat this kind of meat and this kind of meat. Hey, I don't want to eat dog and I don't want to eat cat, but if I want to eat a little pig, amen, God said that'll be all right. Amen. That's what he said. But in the Old Testament, they had to live according to law. But I say, thank God for grace.
Amen.
But old Daniel, he purposed in his heart, he said, I am going to live for God. Now this was at the risk of death. Who had appointed the menu? The Bible says in verse 5 that the king appointed them a daily provision. He picked the menu. And if Daniel says, I'm not going to eat that stuff, he's not going to do what the king says. The king who's just taken him captive. My friend, that's the risk of death. But he said, I'm not going to bow down anyway. He said this at the risk of being labeled a troublemaker. You know what? I believe things ought to be done right. I appreciate people that come to me and say, preacher, you know, things need to be done right, need to be handled right. I say, you're right. Praise God. That's exactly the way it needs to be done. Anything else just won't do. Just won't do. Don't shortcut doing it right.
Right.
My friend, you'll always end up in error. And he, my friend, was running the risk of being labeled a troublemaker. You ever seen somebody stand up when somebody said, well, this is the way we need to do it. Somebody says, now, wait a minute. We need to do it right. Somebody says, you're just a troublemaker. You're uncooperative. Daniel was going to be labeled uncooperative. Daniel was going to be labeled a troublemaker. But bless God, he was doing it by the book.
Amen.
They always had trouble. You know, when I worked at Steelcase, we had supervisors. And buddy, they did it by the book. There was no favorites. And people always had trouble with that. But I always liked that. I never did want to be the one they petted on and the one they did favors for. I like the ones that did it just by the book. And they may say, well, they're not really my friend. They did this to me. Hey, bless God, get the book. Read the book. And if they've done it by the book, hush.
Amen.
It's by the book.
Right.
Amen. That's the kind I like to work for. In fact, that's who it is we do report to.
Right.
We report to him, and he does it by the book. And he did this at the label or at the risk of being of turning down some good smelling, I mean some sweet, savory, delicious cuisine. I mean, I'm telling you, they might have had some glorified hog meat on there. It might have been barbecued with barbecue sauce all over it. I mean, you could just get your fingers in it, get it on your tie, and wipe your face with your tie, you know. Ain't nothing like it. I love barbecue.
Amen, brother.
And I'm telling you, to turn that down is turning down some good old-fashioned cuisine.
Right.
I mean, he run the risk of turning down some really good food.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I can't turn down a good meal.
You better watch it. What do they want when they ask you to eat with them?
You know what, in years past, I know I'm 37 years old and I'm young. But let me say where I used to pastor. We had some folks, or I'd go out to a revival meeting. I've had folks say, I want to take you out to eat, preacher. Okay, great. We were happy to. Went out to eat with them. And the whole blessed time we was there, they're shooting down their neighbor, trying to get me to tell them to take a shot from the pulpit at it. I am as smart as a tack on that kind of joke. When I come to this church, I was so watchful about, is there anybody taking other people out to eat for social favor? Or for some kind of request? I'm glad I don't believe there's ever been a time that any of you, I'm glad I can stand up here and preach this, I don't feel like I've ever been out to eat with any of you or any of you thought you had something to gain by going out to eat with me. In fact, you probably had a whole lot to lose. Your witness and reputation was no longer sterling by going out to eat with a preacher and his family. You were probably very, very talked about and hated for doing that. God bless you for that. But you know this, you be careful. It ain't always that way. People could be wanting to fix you a few taters to try to indoctrinate you a little bit. You need to be as wise as serpents when you go into anything. Listen, I will tell you something. I don't trust nothing except Jesus.
That's exactly right. Do you trust your wife? Yes, I do. I trust her, but I trust Jesus more.
Amen.
Amen. She won't get mad at me for saying that because she feels the same way about me. Amen. But I want to say to you, I don't take anything. Well, he so-and-so has shook my hand. That makes them just a wonderful person because they shook my hand.
Hogwash.
They might want something. You better be careful. I don't care if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck and then it comes up to shake your hand, it's still a duck.
Quack, quack.
Let me say this. I'm getting off the subject. I was doing real good there for just a minute. Had a preacher stand up. He had a boy come in a devil suit. Some people say, I don't believe in that. Don't care if you don't. He did it anyway. And he come in a devil suit. And he was throwing fiery darts at the preacher the whole time. You know, you realize the scripture he's aiming at there. Well, a little bit, he was successful, and the preacher laid down the floor and pretended to be dead. And the devil went out, and he took off with his little suit, and evidently he sauntered around the church when nobody's looking, and the preacher got back up, and he started preaching again. An old boy coming back, and come around down this side, and he said, on this very pew, right here in this area, on the right-hand side of the front of the church, and I was sitting right beside him. And the old boy sat down. And the preacher looked at me and he said, shake hands with him. I turned around and shake, had a suit and tie on. He said, be careful. That was the same devil in the red suit a minute ago. He's just changed his clothes.
Yeah,
he's still the same devil.
Amen.
You better watch everything you see. Ain't everything you see.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You hear me tonight? He was running the risk, my friend, of being labeled a troublemaker. He could have said, well, when I'm in Babylon, I'm going to do as the Babylonians do. You've heard that statement, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Maybe he could have said, he could have said, well, if God's really God, and I'm serving him there in Israel, down there in Jerusalem, and now he's allowed me to be taken captive, that's God, I don't want to serve him anymore. There's a lot of you just like that. You serve God. I'll do right by you, God, when you do right by me.
Right.
Amen. You know it's exactly the truth. You watch, it'll affect your faithfulness. If it don't go just like you think it ought to go, you'll be out of church on Sunday night.
Right.
Well, this part of his message was kind of long. And I'm a little tired, and he really bothered me a little getting on my toes. I think I'll go back tonight. I will see what he's got next Sunday. That's corruption. That's God-awful corruption. He didn't say, oh, I'm just going to quit because it ain't doing the way I want it to do. I don't believe in being a quitter, amen? So we see Daniel stand. He, and also make note of this in verse number 8. When you make a stand about something, that don't mean you jump up and down, yell, scream, and holler, look at me, look at me, I command you, look at me. That's not what Daniel did. He requested.
Right.
He said, listen, I don't want to defile myself with the king's meat and with his drink. I'm asking, can you check that out? And I mean, he was making a request. I believe if his request had been denied, he'd have made a stand. But there's something about having a little tact, church.
Right.
I want to say something to you tonight. You may be so full of zeal in this church tonight, you're just ready to go out like gangbusters. But if you ain't got some wisdom when you go out, if you've got zeal and no wisdom, you're a loaded weapon that's dangerous, ready to go off and hurt somebody. You need to have a little tact, a little wisdom about you, about how you talk to people and handle situations.
Right.
Amen.
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 Daniel was requesting of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, let's look at point number 4, Daniel's doings. We do want to say this. The Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's what Daniel's doing. He wasn't being conformed to the world. He was transformed. Transformed to the heavenly by the renewing of his mind. Verse number 9, Daniel's doings. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And you know, probably how he helped accomplish that. Even though Daniel was in captivity, he treated him right. And requested rather than command and demand.
I am your pastor. You do not command, nor do you demand what I do with my time.
Right.
Amen.
When you see me come to your hospital room, I want to say this. I really feel like I'm there more as your friend than I am as your pastor. Because I can't find in the New Testament where the pastor is visiting the sick.
Right.
I find where that's the deacon's job.
Amen.
When I'm there, I'm not a deacon, I'm your friend. I don't come by a friend's rooms on demand or command. I come by because it's the desire of my heart in love to visit with you and pray.
Right. Amen.
Can I say capiche and you understand?
Amen.
Amen. A lot of preachers nowadays, they're under command and demand of the church.
Right.
No, no. If you want that kind of pastor, go hire them. They're very cheap per dozen. You can have plenty of them just like that. When you say jump, they'll say how high.
Right.
Then they'll say what time and for how long. But God will be a million miles away from that stuff because his heart ain't in it.
Amen.
I know preachers right now where the deacon board's met with them and said, we want to be out by 12 o'clock. Last Sunday morning when I got in the pulpit, it's 5 to 12. I could have said, God bless you, go home. And you could have paid me the same salary for doing that.
Right.
I could have sent you to the house. In fact, I must have been crazy that day to go ahead and preach. Because most of them other preachers would have just said, just go on home. It's 5 to 12. You really want to be out by 12. You've had meetings with me about go on the Bibles. And some of you would have said, well, whoop-de-doo, here we go. And we'd have had a crowd Sunday night, amen. But instead, I decided I'd go ahead and take the extra 20 minutes and preach the Word of God. Because after all, that is what worship service is about.
Amen.
The preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Daniel's doings were this. He said, the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of the sword? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. He said, let's try something here, Daniel said. You know, you and I have got a friendship. Take a chance on it. I've never failed you. I'm being real to you. I'm not going to have your throat cut on purpose. Prove me. Let us eat pulse, which is a porridge type, vegetable type, without any corruption kind of a dish. And just give me water to drink. Take all the rest of that crowd. Give them hog meat. Give them wine to drink. Dedicate to foreign gods. Fine and dandy. We'll take the worst. We'll take the pure pulse. And just water. And for 10 days, check us out and see how that lines up. He said, let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the counsel of the children is that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the meat. And then eat the portion of the king's meat. When I look from verses 9 to 14, I see Daniel's doings. He said, just give me pulse. Give me something that's pure. I want to say to you something as a church. Be careful what it is you're on the diet of. A lot of you are on this Atkins diet. And some of you are on, I don't know what the rest of them kind of diets are. But y'all know what they are. And you do this, but you can't eat that. You do this, but you can't eat that. I want to ask you something tonight. I want to ask you to go on a diet with me. I've got something that I believe with all my heart would really help you. It's pure. It'll prosper you. I'm telling you, it's guaranteed not to cause diarrhea or constipation. The Word of God.
Amen.
I challenge you for 10 days, get in the Word of God and dig. Some of you will go all day tomorrow and your Bible will never be open. You're here at church. I appreciate you. God bless you. But it's good on Thursday to still read the Word of God.
Right.
I ask you, would you go on a steady diet on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Thursday, Friday. Would you go on the diet 10 days straight in the Word of God? Now go ahead and eat what you want to. And drink all that other stuff. Water, tea, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, I don't care. 30 minutes. I am gonna do just like Daniel and purpose in my heart that tonight from 8:30 to 9 o'clock, I'm in the Word of God. Let me challenge you this. Get your wife and have her study with you.
Well, my wife, well, that don't even work.
How about the children sitting there with 30 minutes, all of y'all together, just reading and studying in the Word of God. I'm challenging you tonight. And you watch. 10 days from now, if you're coming in here dragging, oh, I just can't stand no more of that Bible. I've just about had it. That's all the standard I can take. No. The Bible says at the end of them 10 days, they were fairer and fatter. No, well, preacher, that's the problem. I don't want to be fat. Oh, they, some of us, my friend, we're malnutrition of the Word of God.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you look at me and you see bone, but some of us is a whole lot worse than I look tonight, puny, spiritually speaking, in the Word of God. You need to be fattened up in the Word. You need to be fired up complexion-wise with the Word of God. It'd do a whole lot for your attitude. You ain't coming here Sunday morning and say, well, I'm here 10 o'clock. That's all I can do. I've got to go to Sunday school there. I've got to go listen to the preacher for an hour. And God help you, hold us not for 12 o'clock, but to 12:15. It'd do a whole lot. But I might get up and preach something. You may say, hey, I read that the other night. Well, glory to God. I know what he's talking about. Amen.
Amen.
I challenge you tonight. Do like Daniel. Get in the Word of God. Get something pure. Now see God's reward. God will reward you if you'll take that which is pure and study it. He said His Word won't return vain, but it will accomplish that which is pleasing unto Him. You see, the reward was immediate. Immediately in 10 days, they were fairer and fatter than all the rest of them. But it also had only had an immediate effect. It had a long-term effect. I mean, how many of you would go on a diet and say, well, you do this diet for 10 days, it's guaranteed to do such and such for you, and it'll have immediate results. I tell you what, and without even that, it'll have long-term results as well. You'd say, give me that kind of diet. Hey, you know what? It won't cost you nothing. You ain't got to go see a doctor. You ain't got to go see a nurse. You ain't got to go down to the pharmacy and buy some pills. It won't cost you a dime. Just get in the Word of God. Look what the long-term effect was. Melthar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. In other words, from only 10 days from then on, they said, I like it so much, we're going to stay with it. Some of these churches ought to get a good dose of the King James Bible.
Amen.
And get on everything else. A preacher read this, and the Sunday school teachers read that, and somebody else reads that, and they get up and they might as well speak in tongues, because one person reads one thing, and about 40 other people's got 40 different versions. And they're all sitting there thinking, well, what's he read? I don't understand. It's just like speaking in tongues. You ought to get you a Bible. I would say it ought to be a King James. And bless God, honey, go to it, stick with it, stay with the good old stuff.
Right.
Amen. Preacher, I don't like what you're saying to me tonight. You get a copy of that tape I preached a couple years ago on the King James Version of the Bible on trial.
Amen.
It'll float your boat.
That's right.
It'll show you what's real and what ain't.
Amen.
You should have seen the people in this church, me, the new pastor, come in here and said, I found a better Bible than the King James. Some of y'all's teeth about fell out. I thought some of you women was going to fight. Woo! Just pitch over right there in the middle. He found something new. Boy, yous was stirred up. I had your attention. By the end of that service, I had a few more because we got a few Bibles that was handed to me that night and said, I've been using this wrong kind, Richard, right here amongst you. You'd be surprised how stuff like that creeps in.
Right.
You see why? Babylon's attacking.
Right.
And we don't even know it's an attack that he's trying to bring into this church.
Yeah.
Amen? God's reward was long-term, not only in that they stayed on the pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. God gave them that. All they did was get on the pulse and purpose in their hearts to serve God and to be faithful to Him. And look at what God gave them. He gave them fatter. He gave them fair. He gave them attitude. He gives them wisdom. He gives them skill. He gives them learning beyond what anybody else has got.
Right.
I can't read where they read no mathematics journals. I can't read where they got Science Digest and went through it. God just gave it to them when they decided to serve Him.
Right.
Hey, preacher, I ain't got talent to sing. You own it? God will give it to you if you'll use it for His glory.
Right.
Preacher, I want wisdom of the Word of God. Then get in the Word of God. It just don't come just because you want it. It comes because you stand up for it. And you roll up your sleeves and work for it. You take a few chances and cut off that television, amen, at 8:30. And even if the phone rings, bless God, you got to answer the machine. Let it talk to them from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. And you talk to God. Preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, good. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Hey! We got a king we stand for too.
Right.
Jesus is the King of Kings.
Amen.
And it's Him that we report to and stand before. And if you are favored in wisdom, then my friend, decide tonight, purpose in your heart for Jesus.
Amen.
And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. I mean, 10 times wiser than the world. That sounds pretty good to me. What is it that you want tonight, preacher? Preacher, I disagree with you on this version of the Bible thing. I want to say to you tonight, this old King James text was taken from some original manuscripts that were not retranslated. They were original in version. They were found in a region near Antioch. Amen? Some of these other manuscripts that you study came out of Egypt. Every time that I see Egypt in the Bible, it represents the world. It represents Israel in bondage. And tonight, that NIV Bible that people study, it teaches that you can be baptized to be saved. That's not right. You have to go through the blood of Jesus Christ, or you cannot be saved. I could go on and on tonight, children, but I want to say to you tonight, you better purpose in your heart, what is the standard that I am going to go with? And it better be that which is real. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. You see, Daniel here, he had an inner conviction. You ever had an inner conviction? An inner conviction can withstand outer pressure. And it will survive. You see, my friend, if you honor God with your conviction, God will honor you with His rewards. Daniel honored God at the risk of being put to death. He lifted up the King of Kings above a king. And my friend, God came through for him. Look at my sister-in-law today. She didn't know. Her own lawyer told her, prepared to lose. Said, you ought to just sign the paper and say, you won't take them to church until they're 12 years old. And when they're 12 years old, they can decide for themselves. You ought to just go ahead and sign this paper. You're going to waste the court's time, you're wasting my time, and you're going to waste a lot of money on court calls. That's what she was told. We called the Christian Law Association. They were concerned, said, we're not the courts will rule on this behalf. We'll call you back after we study the book. Never did call us back. Had us worried and concerned. But she went anyway to the battlefield. And God said, this is just harassment. Case dismissed. I'll say to you tonight, you may say, well, I don't like to go to the battlefield. You may have to go to the battlefield, but God will give you the victory.
That's right.
You may have to go to the battlefield, but you won't have to fight in it. Just stand there and watch God come through for you. You stand with me tonight. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We need to mention little Kayla back there. I know she's been sick. We're going to pray for her. Miss Vicki had told me she was not feeling well. I also want to keep praying for Miss Elizabeth Wise and Miss Sylvia Jones. Good to see both of them here with us tonight. Sister Janice McClellan, I talked to her yesterday. Monday night, she got extremely sick for the first time. And her white blood count had bottomed out. And she's not really able to have company for at least 2 to 3 days. I was going to go today, but didn't go because of that. Do be praying for the Barney McKinney family and the Sheila Robinson family. Keep praying for Sister Sheila. She'll be going to the doctor on the 14th about her knee. lot of other folks to pray for tonight as well. Miss Judy and Miss Reba. Also, Sandy Hall, Joe Banner, Miss Cora Lee Burleson, Miss Joelle and Willis, Bob Dayton, Miss Margaret Masters, Miss Amelia Burchett. There's a lot of folks that we can pray for. We've got a special request. It's prayer meeting tonight. Just lift up your hand.
Preacher, I don't have to give it actually, but see, Buds and Kim or somehow. Joe, I believe, he's 36 years old. He's got a staph infection. It's moved into his spine somehow or something. But they're not giving him, I don't think, good enough to live.
Mm.
And as far as you knew, he walked saved. I was going to ask the church with all these other prayer requests with this, if we could have an offer of prayer. I thought that if they're not saved, maybe the Lord will spare them this time, they have to be saved.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly where I was getting ready to invite everybody to come to. So y'all come on. Let's pray in the old-fashioned altar. Yeah. I remember when I was a boy growing up at Hooper's Creek, Wednesday nights we'd gather in that old-fashioned altar. I remember every Tuesday night we went back in the woods. About 20 or 30 men just went back there and prayed. Boy, you could feel the ground as it shook. Them old men believed God.
They took the baby that Sandy takes care of. They took Dice for yesterday for a checkup. Check its bronch to see if its breathing passage was growing along with its body. And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And to get it done, it's going to have to be a major reconstruction surgery. Probably 4 to 6 months down the road.
Let's be glad.
Mama's definitely told about it. Daddy's lost.
He'd be praying for his salvation. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Tim Ledford if you would lead us in prayer, please, Brother Tim.
Our Father and our God, all we lift these prayer requests to you tonight, thank all you for giving us our things. Lord Jesus, we pray about God. Just touch these many needs that's been mentioned. We do pray for Sandy Hall, Dr. Joe Banner, Dr. Church Margaret Mackle, and Bob Dayton, all Miss Janice McClellan, Elizabeth Wise, Miss Sylvia Jones, Dr. Will Kitman, Joelle Willis, Dr. Roland McClellan, Dr. This prayer request that Brother Dennis has mentioned. God, for this man's lost condition, we pray, God, you save him. We pray for the lost coming of him is lifted up tonight. God, we pray, Father, that you would save him towards everlasting. We pray, God, something said or done. God, there in an area where he sits, Father, would lead him to Jesus. Father, I realize that the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Father, I pray, God, that he's not already sealed his deadline. I pray, God, you'd deal with him and convict him once more, Father, that you die in your loving will. God, we do pray for our nation tonight, God. We pray for our troops overseas. God, we pray for our missionaries at home and abroad. We pray, God, you help them, God, that they go out and preach the gospel with backbone and boldness. God, the souls will be saved. Lord, tonight, God, I pray this church, Father. I pray, God, you bless them. God, I realize they're under attack of the devil. God, I realize tonight the world opposes them. The world wants to re-educate, retrain them, and just go and indoctrinate them. But tonight, God, you told us we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. God, many of them have talents. Talents on which they've sit way too long. God, many of them have treasure. God, I pray, Father, that you'd help them, God, to bring into the storehouse. God, they might find that, oh, God, you'd pour them out a blessing. And they would have room to receive it. God, I remember old Daniel there was saying, test us. Really, it was not a test of human character, but a test of Almighty God's ability to take care of his people. God, and I realize, Father, you told us to prove you. God, you've showed yourself to us many times. God, tonight, Father, we're just no stranger to your grace. We thank you for what it is you do with us. Now, God, I pray tonight, Father, God, that we'd set in our hearts, establish in our hearts, God, the Word of God, which it is we want to study, which it is we want to read, teach from, and preach from. And the Word of God, which it is that we want to hear. God, I pray that you'll help us to make that decision uncompromised. Old Daniel, he was uncompromised about the pulse that he was going to eat. He didn't want anything that would cause a blemish. God, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us, Father, to settle on the good word of God. Help us as people leave this place. Many times, God, in the recent weeks, you've challenged us on leaving here without complaining for 24 hours. Stopping our murmuring and backbiting. Oh, God, it was so difficult and convicting. God, you've been so true about us. God, still showing us where we're wrong. And tonight, God, for 10 days, Father, it's not too much to ask. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to get in the Word of God, to pray with another, God, in our bedside. God, enter into our closets from time to time as a
time sees itself fit, God, that we should pray. Well, it'd be three times a day or just once. God, help us, God, to seek your face. Lord, tonight, God, we realize our inner conviction, God, it'll withstand outer pressure. And God, I with all my heart, God, this church has a conviction about how to stand, about what to preach and what to teach, what kind of music to sing, and what kind of praises to lift up. Help us, God. Oh, Lord, we don't need something new. God, we need to be asking for the old past. People, you may say, God, we're going to bring new people. It won't excite the young people. Oh, but God isn't as young. And God, my church was preaching the old time way, singing and asking for the old past. God, help us at Bethel not to want to compromise that standard just because of young or old people. Help us, God, to have an inner conviction to ask for the old past, even if it caused us to have to turn away some good old-fashioned hog meat. God, if we lose fellowship with a few over it, God, you'll send a great reward. We'll be 10 times better in the long run. God, help us, Father, then, to lift up your word. God, we ask these favors not on these people. God, we ask your hand, Father. I pray, God, that the vessels of the house of God wouldn't be carried out. I pray, God, that the valiant men of the house of God wouldn't be let off in chains because of sin. God, I've seen people tonight, Father, used to walk through these aisles and stand up and testify. God, they've got shackles on tonight because they got to sin. Lord, I pray, Father, you'd speak to them. Tell them the shackles can come off if they'd get right with you. God, if they'd humble themselves. God, I realize, Father, you're going to chastise. Lord, I pray you'd touch and help them. I pray you'd send somebody, God, with an inner conviction in their heart about seeing them and say, oh, I'm praying for you. You need to get your life straightened out. It's not really who you're called to be, and I know that. God, I pray, Father, you'd help us to be a witness. God, we pray these favors in Jesus' precious name. Help us to use our talents then for your glory, not to sit on them, not to hide them, not to use them in the world. I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us, convict us where we need it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I do thank you for coming tonight. I do need to meet with the deacons in my office. Church Directory Committee, I need to meet with you all in the Sunday School office. Have two meetings at one time. We can pull this off. We do thank you for coming tonight. Do tell people that we will be studying the book of Daniel in 12 of 13 weeks, Lord willing. Maybe at the end of it we might have some kind of a little booklet or something, okay? Good night. God bless you. Thank you for coming.